Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
La, la, la. Drip, drip, drip.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. It's a Pate State University Thursday there, Dirt.
That it is. Also a Big Pack Picks Thursday.
What's the biggest thing on your mind about Josh Pate when we talk to him?
Oh, going into the interview?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because I find the Franklin
local angle for
and
me,
Oregon, Indiana stuff yeah. equally like the same level of interest to me.
I want to ask, he has been hinting on his show for the last 2 weeks that we are headed for the most chaotic coaching carousel that we have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know from him, like, what are we talking about here? Like, is there a number in your mind of jobs? Like, there's some that we know. We talked about this on the show the other day. Like, Florida's an obvious one. They're probably going to fire their coach.
They've pre-fired him.
They've pre-fired the fire. He's going to get fired no matter what happens this weekend. We have audio to play later on in the show of another coach who's probably going to get fired over the next 2 weeks at a relatively big job. Like, how big is this domino going to be? That's the part of it that you never really think about. It's not just the coaches that get fired. It's then the coaches that leave those places to go take that jobs that creates voids all over the country.
Oh, yeah. It's a domino.
It's a domino yeah. where you think you're safe. We're not going to fire our guy. We're okay. And then your guy yeah. leaves for that job, and all of a sudden now your job's open, and then you go take somebody else's coach.
100%.
So I don't know. He's been teasing at that, and he's not going to give us names and specifics, but I just like, what should I mentally prepare for going into this coaching carousel season?
Well, he'll join the show at 7:40 today. We have a lot to get to on the radio program. We'll also talk with Ryan Abraham, who covers USC football. He's a really good friend of the show. So, is this the last USC Notre Dame game ever?
Could be. They're still trying to work out that Netflix deal, it sounds like, which I think would be dumb to let them
I thought
do
that got shut down.
They're still reportedly trying to get Big Ten approval, and it hasn't died yet. And it's the last one on paper, I think, for a while.
20 years since the Bush push.
I know. I saw the highlights of that yesterday.
There's a good piece at ESPN, The Athletic? Yeah, one of those. Yeah, I read it. Sure. It was like 20 years later, and it was like, God.
They grew the grass a foot high.
Yeah, they did.
Guess where they can't do that anymore? Notre Dame, because they put in turf like cowards.
Yeah.
Notre Dame not having grass, Michigan not having grass, and Ohio State not having grass
feels
anymore.
Wrong, doesn't it?
It just feels like you're... Yeah, that's crimes against humanity, man.
Hmm.
You're going to hell for that decision. Burn an eternity.
I think their faith would actually argue, no, we literally can't because of our faith.
Nah, you can't.
Okay.
Turf over grass at those stadiums, those historical monuments of college football.
It is odd.
You're going to hell.
Your team is going to Rutgers.
Yeah, we are, buddy.
Some would say hell.
We woke up this morning, got ourselves a gun.
Yeah, you did.
Bring it on, Rutgers. Tony Soprano coming to town.
Yeah, he is. Be careful.
Is Lanning going to do a Sopranos theme in his press conference, you think, or his team speech?
Take the whole cannoli.
Just lean into the entire thing.
Well, they're going to Rutgers. They're not leaving till late, too, because I heard Dusty's going to be in here tomorrow with us in the morning since Casey will kind of be like officially on his own.
Yeah.
And so to make sure he's okay, he's got the support he needs, Dusty's going to be in here, but Dusty's the sideline guy for the Ducks, so I'm kind of curious, like, they must not be leaving till late afternoon.
Yeah, they always do it interesting. I think because it's a 6:30 local kick for them in New Jersey that maybe they're okay leaving the day before, because then you'll get there, you know, in the evening, Friday night, you have your walkthrough Friday night, have a full day Saturday to adjust. It's not like the clock difference. I think it's probably if it's a 9 a.m. game, they go a little bit earlier, but since it's a 6:30 start, it sounds like they're leaving tomorrow.
Well, Lanning was talking to the media yesterday, and he's obviously on to Rutgers. You can only dwell in a loss for so long. You have to get ready for another game.
They got a game in 2 days.
And they're going to the East Coast, so it's a big travel weekend for Oregon. And Lanning, talking to the media, asked an Indiana question.
Not happy.
And Dan Lanning got a little spicy.
Whether it was miscommunication or just really good defense on Indiana's part in terms of simulated pressures and causes confusion up front, Dan.
You guys know we're playing Rutgers, right? We did Monday press conference already, but go ahead.
But it's something that will come up again, so asking for Rutgers.
You watch Rutgers?
Not as heavy as simulated pressure. I'm saying in future games, starting this week and the rest of the season, where do you feel the corrections are this week to what happened last week?
We corrected them. Yeah, we corrected them on Monday. Any other Indiana questions? They played really good, guys. They played really good. They had a better plan than us, and we played that game last Saturday.
We're on to Rutgers.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Spicy.
Got a little spicy.
He's not happy having to answer questions, but the guy hates losing, man. He hates losing with the passion of a thousand suns.
I understand.
And you keep asking him about a loss, he's not going to be happy.
The tough part there is kind of understanding why media would still be interested in the Indiana stuff, but also...
It's a more interesting game than Rutgers.
You know that that guy, at this point, that's not a conversation he wants to be having.
No.
He wants to internally figure out, what did they do? How do we correct it?
Bottle it up and release it on Rutgers
and
this weekend.
Let it just burst out and show Dante still a Heisman guy against Rutgers. The tough thing there is this is where I would kind of, I don't know if fetal in the position is the right term, but like I would, if he said, yeah, Rutgers doing that, I'd be like, I didn't watch Rutgers tape.
Damn it.
And the guy kind of did say that, but then like still acts. I don't know. It's a weird place to be in that situation, but I totally understand being interested because of the way the game was. But also Lanning's side is, dude, I have a game in 2 days.
Yes.
I have to.
We got to move on. It's one game.
I have to go on.
End
to
our season. We got another game coming up. If we win the rest of our games, you're going to look back at that as a footnote and say, maybe that was the course corrector. Maybe that was the wake up call that they needed.
You know what? I'll say this. It's interesting to watch this. Not the Rutgers stuff. I think they're going to house Rutgers. I think they're going to house Wisconsin, and then they'll get tests at some point. But I think what's interesting is it's been so long since he lost a regular season game.
Since the middle of the year 2 years ago.
Yeah, I saw a funny stat. Mike Norvell just turned 44. He hasn't won an ACC game since he was 42.
Yeah. It's a long time ago. They're 0-3 in ACC play.
That's kind of a Dan Lanning situation in conference play.
Last time he lost a regular season game was in Seattle 2 years ago.
The
Pac-12 title game is not a quote-unquote
regular season
game. Regular
season game is what we're talking about here.
One of the 12 on your schedule.
And so there's a little spice to him of like, he hasn't had one of those L's in the regular season in a while. And I think you could hear that in the way he was responding to it.
He's never lost back-to-back games in his career. It's never happened to him before. And so I think this is true of a lot of coaches, but I think they genuinely hate losing more than they love winning. I think that's what makes these guys truly psychotic. And it's added a ton of intrigue to the Rutgers game for me this week. You know, we've seen Oregon have to do this a handful of times in the Dan Lanning era. Not a ton. Like, when you look at bounce back spots for them, he lost his first game, but then they came back and, you know, against Georgia. Came back and played like Eastern Washington, whoever it was in non-conference. I don't really count that. Later in the year, that first year, they lost to Washington, had the fourth down decision, didn't work out for you. You got to come back home next week, and you're playing Utah, who I want to say was ranked in the top 15-ish at the time, and Oregon found a way to win that game. So they bounced back in that spot. Then they went Civil War to bowl game. I don't really count that as a bounce back win because there's a long layoff from the end of the season to when the bowl game is. The Washington game they lost in the regular season, they bounced back from that. I think they beat Washington State by 14 or 17 the next week. Cam Ward had a really good day against him at Autzen, but they bounced back and got a win. So you haven't seen this a ton, but it adds intrigue on what they're going to look like. I think based on the tone of
of the way he sounded in that press conference yesterday, it seems like a team that's going to be ready with their hair on fire to come out and get that taste out of their mouth. And I think that's what Oregon fan wants to see. Like, you never want to overreact or freak out to one game. We are not used to losing regular season games, which tells you how spoiled we've been under Dan Lanning over the last 2 years, to your point of the last time that this happened. And now go wash the taste out. Go beat Rutgers by 30. This is a team that I actually have seen a decent amount because they played the Huskies on Friday night. I watched a good chunk of that game until it got ugly in the fourth quarter.
I watched
the
whole game.
Yeah, I was glued to it and then flipped over to the Mariners going to, 38 innings after that on Friday night. They played Iowa on a Friday night, and I watched that one because it was kind of a standalone game. So they've had some of these weeknight games that I've had a chance to watch them. They got a decent quarterback. They've been tied or in the lead at every game at halftime this season. They have not trailed one game this year at halftime, so they'll push you a little bit. It'll be a tough place to play, but go kick the crap out of them because you're better than them.
I saw a stat that said Brandon Finney, when people are targeting him, the passer rating is 11.4. It's the best in the nation of every DB.
He's very good. He's very talented.
He's very talented.
He's a true freshman.
How tall is he? 6'3"?
6'3".
Yeah, I mean, he looks huge.
That's the brand of corner that Lanning has been looking for in his time in Eugene, and he found it.
But I do think a little bit of last weekend was, one, Indiana's line play on both sides was a little better than I think people thought.
Yeah.
Especially defensively. That was amazing. But
for sure.
I'm kind of curious because Rutgers doesn't really run the football. They're 13th in the Big Ten.
No, they're more of a passing offense.
They're
with
third in passing offense.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the UW game. I watched that. They did get out to a lead. Then they missed a field goal that would have put them up 13-0. Yeah.
They had a chance there to kind of pounce on them and go up 17-0 after a short field in the first half, and they squandered it.
They squandered it, and then the Huskies came back, and they settled in, and DeMond had like an all-time game for Washington quarterback play. But I think going into this, because I'm not going to sit here and suggest I think Rutgers, we got our big pack picks today, and
yes,
so
we do.
We'll see where we're at on that spread. But I think the thing for me carrying over is, okay, this might be a good thing for them, because you left that Indiana game going, yeah, Mendoza and Surratt ate you alive. I mean, if they weren't going at Finney, it was a completion. And I think the Rutgers offense being so geared towards passing, you want to see it on the other side, right? Like,
for
you know,
sure.
Brandon Finney's going to show up and show out. Like, yeah. You want to see the other side. You want to see the other DBs be able to settle you down a little bit, because I'd venture to guess this, and maybe if you think I'm wrong here, let me know. If they're playing USC this weekend instead of in a month, I think you're feeling a whole lot more like, you know what I mean? Versus it is Rutgers. You want to see some corrections, but it's Rutgers. So like, this is in kind of some ways we dismiss Indiana. There is a bigger of that talent profile difference. They should get out from the gate and settle this thing and handle their business on the road, even though it's an East Coast game.
Agree with you.
Whereas if it's USC, it's like, damn, dude, it's a good schemer. Mayava's been good. Their wide receivers are NFL guys. We just went against that and it didn't go our way. So I think in a way you're getting a little bit of a reprieve, but also you're still getting tested in an area that you're coming off of going, not amazing.
Yeah, sometimes losses, I mean, they're always painful in the moment, but they can ultimately end up being a great thing for you. They can resharpen your focus. They can dial you back in. I don't know if it's as simple as this, because I don't want to take anything away from how good Indiana was. And I truly believe they're one of the best teams in the country with the schemes that they run and the veteran-laden team that they have. Like, a lot of those guys have played a ton of football where they weren't blue-chip guys coming out. But they're guys that have been in college football for 6 years, and they were all overlooked by these teams that they're going against and trying to prove wrong, and nobody at Oregon offered them a scholarship, that kind of thing, right? They got that massive chip on their shoulder trying to prove something. But some of the Oregon players who have talked to the media this week have echoed the sentiment of, it was a lesson for us that we can't just show up and expect to win. And I joke about rat poison all the time. Nick Saban famously talked about it. Like, but when the media tells you how good you are and that's all you listen to, and Oregon's coming off a win on the road over Penn State, which at the time was such a monumental game. I know it's laughable to look at it now because they've lost three in a row and fired their head coach. But at the time, man, that was a top five matchup on the road, whiteout game, 110,000 people. You win it in double overtime. Like, I think there is a feeling of invincibility that comes from that, of like, wow, we kind of let them back in the game, and we still found a way to win. Look at that. We might be the best team in the country. And everybody's telling you, look, here comes Oregon and Dan Lanning peaking early. And you sit around for 2 weeks stewing in your own farts. And then you show up against Indiana, and you probably had a mindset of, wow, we're going to win this game. It's Indiana. Look what happened last year when they played Ohio State and Notre Dame. They couldn't hang. And then they came in, they punched you in the mouth. First play of the game, and then continuously for four quarters. And so I can't wait to see how they bounce back. It's a good lesson that you can't just show up any week. You got to bring it. And it's not even necessarily for me the defense that is the talking point. The only thing I'm focused on, Rutgers will move the ball. They'll score some points on you. They got a decent passing attack. They've done it before. It's the off. Like, Rutgers does not have a very good defense.
No, DeMond tore that thing up.
He had like 8,000 total yards by himself in one game. That all of my attention and focus is on how does the offense look? How's the communication with the offensive line? Does Dante Moore get back into a groove? When you look at their play in the Big Ten, the Northwestern, the offense was a little clunky. What was it, 17-0 at the half? Now that's a 9 a.m. game. You're playing in front of a high school stadium. I get it. Penn State, I think that was a really difficult environment. The crowd noise, silent count, all that stuff going into it. But it was only two offensive touchdowns until you got to overtime. And then obviously only one offensive touchdown at home against Indiana. And so all of my things that I'm circling are on. The defense is a little leaky at one corner spot. Brandon Finney might be go on to be a first round top 10 kind of pick. He's that talented. But I've got a lot of questions about the defense. It's all on the offense.
I got one stat that I want to ask you about coming up next. And then I also want to get to another story in the world of college football that I find very, very interesting. Josh Pate will join the show at 7:40. So we'll dive into the Oregon-Indiana reaction, where he thinks Oregon is at in the whole pantheon of the sport right now. Who will be the last undefeated? Or we have multiple of those in college football.
Yeah.
And the James Franklin stuff of just like, that's got to be the craziest thing in his life. Because I asked him this about Indiana being good, and he's like, Mississippi State. And I'm like,
Mississippi State got good, there's no doubt, but it didn't happen in year one.
I think Indiana was literally the worst program in Power Four.
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State's dog-ass, they have been forever, but go look at when Dan Mullen was there. It wasn't like he got there and they went to number one in the country. He was there for a couple of years and then finally got there.
So he'll join us at 7:40 during break. We're back with more Hour 2 rolls along on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You mentioned, and by the way, Josh Pate, 7:40 coming up here. You mentioned the offense is the big part for you this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Rutgers isn't the most exciting thing, but we also are coming off of a week where we kind of did, this is not as exciting as the last excitement. And then that team won at Autzen Stadium. So maybe in football, we should just not do that, right?
Yeah. Rutgers, by the way, in terms of total defense through this season, is the worst defense in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're near the bottom in almost every statistical category. But here's where I want to ask you, because I totally understand off of that offensive performance and scoring 13 points. And as we noted via Casey, Their first home game since 2017 that they lost and scored just one offensive touchdown.
And that game included Braxton Burmeister.
Much different situation.
This game did not have Braxton Burmeister.
No. and I'd be with you 100%. Here's one more nugget I want to throw at you to say, I actually would really want to see something here.
Okay.
And I'm starting to worry if I don't.
Oh, okay.
So you mentioned Rutgers is really bad defensively, right?
Yeah.
They're near the bottom. Here's a stat for your ass.
Oh, what you got?
Rutgers is tied for second in the Big Ten, averaging 1.5 sacks per game.
Aha.
Oregon is right behind them.
Yeah.
And it's probably the area of a defense I don't know if any of us thought we would talk about. And I understand the whole sacks aren't a metric that, and yeah. I do agree with that to a certain extent, but when we saw a team last year register more sacks in one game than Oregon State had all season, I think you kind of went in with this talent and said, they're good there.
Yeah.
And totally we mentioned fair. Not saying Mateo's name almost at all last weekend. That's one area defensively aside from the other cornerback from Finney. I'd like to see like two or three if I was you.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's definitely an area they've been surprisingly bad at this season.
They had an early sack from Amari Washington on the interior defensive line where he just, you know, bull rushed a guard right into Mendoza and that ended a drive early.
He disrupted a couple runs doing that.
He did, right? The interception, the pick six that he threw, Mendoza did a lot. A big reason of that was the pressure and he had to throw off of his back foot. There's a combination there. Like, one, I don't think the pass rushers had that good of a game. So there's that caveat to it. And then also on top of that, Mendoza's really good at getting rid of the ball quick.
I know.
If you're throwing the ball in 2.5 seconds, that's not easy to get home in 2.5 seconds. And they were leaving their guys kind of on an island, and it was a lot of back shoulder, you know, just kind of hike it, wait, you're going to run the DB back and then turn around, and there's a little comeback route. So I think that was a double whammy of they didn't have a great game and they get rid of the ball quickly. The other part that's hard to read on Oregon and their pressure rate this year, that was a very important game. I thought they dominated pressure-wise against Penn State, but I guess to some that doesn't really count anymore. We gave the stats after that game of like all the times that Penn State dropped back to throw. Their pressure rate was off the charts. They got to Drew Aller constantly, so they were very good in that game. And the other difficulty of it is like they didn't play a lot of teams early in the year that could throw the football. So you're just... The numbers aren't going to be there because teams are down by 40. Like, Montana State wasn't throwing the ball a ton in the second half. Oregon State didn't really, that game kind of got out of hand. Oklahoma State was down by 60 in the third quarter, and you were getting pick sixes. So some of that stuff is hard to gauge truly how good or bad has your pass rush been. But in their two big games this year, I thought they were outstanding against Penn State, and they did not deliver against Indiana. And part of that is on them. Part of that is on Indiana's offense. But to your point, yeah, this is an offense that's going to throw the ball. They don't have the offensive line that Indiana does, and your defensive line should dominate this football game.
Where are you at on the whole Napier has been pre-fired situation?
I hate how sloppy some of this stuff gets. The fact that leaks and you're meeting with boosters the week going into a game, it's incompetence, man. Like what?
It really is.
They went 7-5 last year, I believe, and decided that was enough to keep him back.
Like Penn State didn't go into the Northwestern homecoming, and you didn't hear.
It was like no way they're going to do it. It's $50 million.
And
that was the thought.
We jokingly said they would because they'd be so irate, and then we all got the alert. And we went, what?
What? They fired him?
They really did it, like, and so that it might not have been the right move, or maybe it was. Yeah. But I do agree with your takeaway. You can't be sloppy like that.
No.
I think it kind of...
You back-channel it. You want to get with boosters and say, hey, do we got this money? Like, let's make sure none of this leaks. And
the fact that you even had your meeting leak was like, what booster is just giddy texting Pete Thamel or Pete Nakos? Hey, going into a big meeting about firing Napier.
I'll let you know how it goes. We're going to fire Billy this weekend no matter what happens.
Shore it up, dude. Yeah. What are you doing? You're Florida.
It looks really bad, man. It looks really bad. And if I were a potential head coach with that opening because he is going to get fired, that would be a thought process I would have. Is the infrastructure behind the scenes?
I mean, they're going to give you the money.
They're going to give you the money, and you're in the SEC. I get it. But, that's – infrastructure is a big deal, and I don't know how it's functioning in Florida considering this stuff leaks and you're going to fire him no matter what happens this weekend according to sources.
It's a big gig, man.
It's a big gig. Florida's a big gig.
It's the gig of the gigs.
You calling Urban back? Hey, Urban. What are you doing these days?
Do you honestly think Urban would still be good in college? Because I don't.
I don't know. He's a slimy greaseball that I think could win in any era, probably. And then have a a health ailment because one of his offensive coordinators beats the crap out of his wife and he covers it up. That's probably how it would go.
goes and hangs out with a co-ed at a Cincinnati bar.
Yeah, you lose a tough game in Florida and you just sleep the night in Athens hanging out with some 18-year-old floozy at a college bar. Is that Urban Meyer? Yeah, it is. Hey, what's up, Herb?
I love my wife, man.
I'm a family man. God first.
Yeah, we'll talk to Josh Pate about that. One little, I know. We got Pate coming up. Random NBA nugget throw at dirt.
Ooh.
I actually think you'll be interested in this one.
I have an NBA nugget to throw at you.
What?
You're right.
We're throwing nuggets at each other?
I'll throw a nugget at you.
God, I love that sweet and sour sauce at McDonald's. So good.
So good.
So good. The Wendy's honey mustard. All right, we're back with Nuggies next on The Fan. Well, it's a Pate State Thursday, so this is always a turn and burn for us. It's a weird segment that way.
It's a quickie, man. Quickie. Got to get in, got to get out.
I'm going to throw you, we'll pause the college football for the 3 minutes that we'll be here, and we're going to get
the f*** out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter with you.
We did have somebody, I put up a blazer poll question, was like,
stupid or are you stupid?
I'm stupid.
Okay.
A listener was like, oh, we're a week away from you just railroading the whole show with Blazer Talk, aren't we?
We are, aren't we, Sprague? First 2 hours are going to be Blazers every day, aren't they?
We don't have a Blazer segment, come on, but man. No. It's college football, NFL. Like, we'll get to NFL today. I haven't even got that much NFL.
It'll be great, because there's some pockets in the middle of the week where you're like, all right, there's a little hole here, there's a little hole there. You could shove Blazers into that hole.
Let's fill our holes with Blazers.
I'm all about it.
Here is a Blazer-adjacent hole filler for
okay,
you.
Okay, fill my hole.
Yesterday, I was getting ready for an early dinner at basketball practice yesterday with the kiddos.
Yeah.
So I have to prepare dinner, and I'm like, I need some background noise. Turn on the TV. Don't got baseball. I had hockey or basketball.
Oh, okay.
And basketball's preseason, so it doesn't matter, but I turned that on.
Yeah.
And you know what I saw?
Over watching regular season hockey.
Yeah.
The audacity. Yeah.
Soccer's back in my life this week, too.
Audacity.
Their international break.
God, you could watch an entertaining sport that there's, you know, like a rail of cocaine, back and forth, fights, pucks, blood, sick goals.
My soccer team's physicality. In a hot situation yeah, right yeah, now. They sure might fire their manager if they lose.
They get to kick it around and score no goals again for 90 minutes
actually,
and then
that's
tie.
Kind of what they have been
that's
doing.
That's kind of a win for them. That's very entertaining to watch.
Anyways, I digress. Yeah. I look at my television, and what do I see? Little Anthony Simons in a Celtic jersey looking at me.
How was he looking yesterday?
It looked odd.
Did it? Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, I hadn't watched any preseason Celtics. He's wearing number 4. It looks weird.
It's like CJ in a Pelicans jersey. Just strange.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Very, it's just like
I'm
a
glad
reminder.
You're not here anymore, but that's still a little weird.
We traded that guy for.
Thank God. 3 years too late. I digress.
They're excited about him in Boston.
Of course they are. That's why they're going to bring him off the bench and start Peyton Pritchard. Like we always should have done. Maybe
he
in that
might
role
start for them.
Is he going to start?
Because Peyton was the sixth man of the year, so they might just lean into that.
Peyton's a better player.
Peyton's a Ginobili for them.
He's a better player.
It just was odd to see Anthony Simons in a Celtic uniform. That was my first like, whoa,
what's going on here?
This is weird.
This is a little strange. Yeah that's going to be a weird one for me. I had an NBA nugget to throw at you. I did not see this because I wasn't watching live, but the Peacock started their basketball run of preseason last week or earlier this week, whenever it was. And many people were angry because they used Round Ball Rock is back. Basketball. And everybody's excited to have that back in our lives. But it was only used as essentially like a bounce back song. Like it was like overview of the stadium, that song playing, welcome in. And then they kind of faded it down and that was it. And people were very upset.
What
that,
do
like,
they want? The old school
they want
90s.
The, give me the Peacock logo and give me the, you know, give
the
me
highlight
a,
reels.
Give me a story going into the game. Where is Eagle telling you this is a pivotal showdown in Chicago tonight? And then the song kicks in and then the game begins.
Yeah, it was an underrated part of the, I think it was the Sunday or Saturday games they used to have on NBC in the 90s.
Tell a story, man.
It'd be Marv Albert or it'd be Bob Costas and you'd be like, a team mirrored in controversy against the legend who's looking for one more run.
The NBA on NBC.
The Jazz, the Lakers, next on NBC. Welcome to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Look, we're all excited for this property to be back. We're all excited for that song to be back in our lives. Big East basketball and Round Ball Rock did not make any sense, so I'm glad we have the marriage that we need now. You got to do it correctly. Don't screw this up, NBC. That's my NBA nugget for you today.
I am waiting for the first Blazer NBC game because I would want him Marv
so good.
Costas like pregame.
Yes!
A team on the rise looking to make their way in the league.
Dominant defensively.
On the other side, you've got the young age superstar and the aging superstar. Can they coexist? It's Blazers, Lakers, next on NBC.
Not going to lie, I think it moved.
I think I made myself move. Pace next on the Fan.
You know, I think it was 4 2-out runs there at that point, you know, and trying to get him through that and because he was throwing the ball so well. But, you know, this is a team that has swung the bat well all year, and they didn't miss much tonight, and, you know, they were able to get to him.
This is Stinking It Up on the Fan, brought to you by... Who's it brought to you by, Sprague?
An offense that just came to life. A baseball team on the brink of the first. It's the Blue Jays. It's the Mariners. Dan Wilson, Stinking It Up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
All right, welcome back in. It is a Pate State Thursday here, as it is always on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Josh Pate, Josh Pate's College Football Show, Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Find him on Twitter at JoshPateCFB and follow the Instagram. The Instagram is the more underrated of the social platforms, because he takes you behind the scenes, his private jet life, his bussing with the boys, his ESPN, and his stadium hopping life every week. And you catch the Ramen Noodle Express, Friday Night Lights. It's a delightful little IG content that he creates every single week. He's joining us now. You know, I'm going to pivot out of Franklin, Penn State. I'm kind of done talking about it. He's fired. It's surprising. It's over. We'll see where they go. I'm actually going to start with Oregon, Indiana, because, Josh, we kind of poo-pooed it a little bit of there just wasn't the juice because it's Indiana. And then Indiana and kind of came in there and whooped up on the Ducks in a lot of ways. What was your takeaway from what you saw from Cignetti and company doing to Oregon what most people didn't think they'd be able to do?
All right. So there are two things, two different lanes here. One of them has to do with the game. The other has to do with the reaction. So let's start with the game. The game stunned me. I was coming back from Missouri. So I was in the air as the game was happening. I had very spotty Wi-Fi, so I saw little bits and pieces. So I land right as the game's ending. So I see the final, 30-20, and I think, wow, that's pretty crazy. And then your mind immediately shifts to, all right, what happened, though? Because your mind will not allow you to accept that Indiana just flat-out handled Oregon. So something had to happen, minus four turnovers or two special teams touchdowns, something like that. So then you go and look, and you go, wait a second, there's no catch here. Indiana just whipped them. And then I hear Dan Lanning admit the same thing. And then I realize, oh, Oregon had a defensive score, or it would have been worse. So I actually have heard some people say this week, that if the Georgia logo was on Indiana's resume, they'd be number one in the country. They're probably right about that. I also don't think it's the craziest concept in the world to have given Georgia benefit of doubt, or Alabama or Texas or whatever, that you would not give Indiana until they prove it. But that's not stupid. That's how normal people think. All right, so let's get into the other lane. The other lane was, there is a group of people, just kind of feral internet people, probably about 20 of them max, but these people are very vocal. And after something that is surprising happens, this group of people loves to scream from the mountaintops like they predicted that it was going to happen. And they're almost insulting to anyone who acts surprised. Like, well, why didn't you see this coming? Well, why do you hate Indiana? Why did you doubt this? Why did you doubt that? Because we've never seen it happen before, man. That's why I would have doubted it. I'm surprised because I've never seen it happen before. That's the nature of upsets. It's the nature of shocking results. That's why they're shocking. So I kept searching, and I couldn't find any of these people on the record predicting an actual Indiana win before it happened. But, boy, with the benefit of hindsight. It's like people who question play calling. They're always right with the benefit of hindsight. So, look, am I worked up about it? A little bit. A little bit. But that's why God just gives us another week, and we move on to week eight, and we'll have a whole new set of things to argue about this Saturday. Or maybe Friday. Who knows? Maybe Louisville beats Miami on a Friday.
Yeah, could you imagine if that happens? Especially switching the pick last week, too. That had to sting a little bit when you see the final of the game, because you were on in Indiana initially.
He liked him with the
on
points,
the locker.
Too,
he liked him with the points, and then, you know, I think Compton and Luan kind of bullied you out of that one. I ended up being the right pick on that one. And then, you know, you switched. It's okay. I was happy that you did in the moment, but then I thought
it's
in the aftermath.
Not okay. So, you know, an anchorman, when that little dog is sitting there barking at Will Ferrell, and he's not even speaking real words, but Will Ferrell looks at him and says, Baxter, you always know how to cut me. Well, that's you. You know how to cut me. No one else has brought up the pick switch all week, and I get here, wow. I think I'm safe, wow. I'm in the clear, wow. It's Thursday, and there it is. What's that pain in my side? it's a dagger.
Yeah, right there. Well, to make it even worse, I would love to throw this in the face of anybody who argued with the expanded playoff was a debatable thing, and we went over that for years, right? Of like, well, now regular season games aren't going to mean anything anymore. Well, you should check in with the Oregon fan base on if regular season games mean anything, because Dan Lanning, who despite being 28-2 in his last 30 regular season games, we're questioning everything. Is Dante Moore suck? Is Will Stein the problem? Top 5 OC, not any longer. Why can't they get pressure? I'm just curious your takeaway on the Oregon side of it. Lanning got a little testy reporters yesterday of like, hey, can we stop talking about Indiana? Can we move on to Rutgers? I don't know if they'll be on the Pucker Factor tonight. I imagine that they will, but your takeaway on Oregon from the loss and where they go from here.
Yeah. It was an attention getter, I think, up there more than anything. It got the fan base's attention for different reasons. It may have gotten Oregon's attention in a sense that, I don't know, maybe there are some flaws here that weren't exposed by previous opponents. Now they get exposed. But I talked to a couple of their staffers afterwards, and I said, you know, you got your face smashed in. I don't think I use this exact phrasing, but point still remains. You got your face smashed in against Ohio State last year, but that was it. Season's done. You can't respond. So at least if we're of the belief that no one's really going undefeated anymore in college football, which I happen to buy into, then it's about when you lose more so than anything else. It's how much you lose, but it's also when you lose. I'd much prefer this to happen because here's the whole thing. If Oregon's going to compete for a national title, this is actually when you want the loss to happen if it's got to happen because you start fixing yourself earlier in the season. If they are really just that flawed a team, they're going to lose more games and they won't be a playoff contender and it's all a moot point. But in the world where they are a playoff contender and a national title contender, there's a lot of good that can come from it. So the opposite can be true as well. You could be Penn State, you could lose to Oregon, and you're so fragile that it implodes your entire program and you end up firing your coach 15 days later. So it's not a given. I mean, I know I say this so simply, it's not a given that people respond positively to adversity. That's why these guys work so hard on the mental aspect of the program, because you know it's coming. You don't know when it's going to come, but you know it's coming. You got to have collectively a group of people respond differently than normal people would to adversity. That's what you find out about the travel to Rutgers this week, more so than anything. And it doesn't have to be the cleanest performance, but it has to begin a trajectory in the right direction.
Josh Pate is our guest here, joins us every Thursday at 7:40. Get ready for a new episode tonight, Josh Pate's College Football Show on YouTube, every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, as he gets ready for another great weekend of college football action. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Josh Pate CFB, and Instagram. I'll kind of ask you a vague-ish question. Is the margin between one and let's just use Oregon right now in the AP. They're at 8. They're just ahead of Georgia. You could throw Georgia in there, maybe LSU if you want. Like, do you still view Oregon as a legit national title contender? Because I think it did get some people out here to maybe reconsider and wonder, can they keep up with some of these other teams that right now look the part or seem to be catching on a little bit the way Alabama has the last 5 weeks post that loss to Florida State. Do you still have Oregon in the national title contender category?
I've got them playing for the national title. So, yes, I've got them absolutely squarely in that conversation. I am very surprised at how quickly amnesia sets in on college football fans and media. Not you guys, not us. Yeah. We're immune, but everybody else. Every spring, because I don't know how many times we have to point out the examples in the past of teams that have gone on to do big things that had inexplicable losses or ugly losses or sometimes even ugly wins in regular seasons past, for us to get over this notion that one result equals what a team is. One result is one version of that team. You get 12 versions guaranteed per year, and then if you go to the postseason, you get more. So, no, yes, I believe that they're still absolutely in it. I will say, if you talk about gaps, I do power ratings, so if you're just looking at raw power ratings, my gap between 1 and 2 right now, which is Ohio State, Miami, my gap between 1 and 2 is 4 points. My gap between 2 and 11 is 4 points. So put another way, yeah, the gap between 1 and 2 is equal to the gap between 2 and 11 right now. But it's important to note that's not some insurmountable gap. It does mean at the moment Ohio State is solidly the number one team in the country. But you could very easily push back on that and say, yeah, but who have they played? And then we'd go down that whole rabbit hole we always go down in college football. I do wonder this, though. So we know what Oregon's flaws are. They just got exposed. We've seen Georgia get exposed. We've seen Bama with Florida State. Just because Ohio State hasn't been exposed and hasn't shown any weaknesses relatively doesn't mean they aren't there. It just means what it means. They haven't faced the right set of pressure on the right parts of the dam to potentially expose the cracks. So I find it, and this is just me speaking generically, I find it very difficult to believe that a team lost what they lost, staff and roster, and just became a super team yet again. I find that hard to believe. So I know it's hard to argue with that watching the results right now, but remember, it's mid-October, all right? It's mid-October. Let's just let it play out a little ways.
Or some people would call it Cocktober. Happy Cocktober to you, Pate. Glad to have you on and celebrate the landmark month that it is. I'm going to try and ask you a question without it being a word salad, but there's a lot going on in my brain about the coaching world right now. Like, we have at Florida, they're pre-firing a coach. I don't know if I've ever seen that before to that level, but all the intel is that he's going to get turfed this weekend, Billy Napier, whether they win or lose. The Franklin stuff has been covered, you know, back to front all week long, so we didn't need to get into that. But you've been kind of teasing this. You buckle up, Buttercup, because it's going to be chaotic when we get into this, all the coaches that are getting fired. Like, how many corners of the country are we touching here? Because it sounds like you believe there's jobs that we're not even on our radar yet. Like, Florida's an obvious one, Florida State, Auburn. You go through the list of coaches, you know, we'll get to Jonathan Smith. Maybe he's turfed at Michigan State.
We couldn't find the one you were hinting at there, Pete.
How much do I need to buckle up for what's coming in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, would it surprise you if the Michigan job came open?
We thought Michigan was maybe one of them.
He wore a military outfit and was like, I go to war with my guys. Like, what are you doing, dude?
It's turned into some great memes, by the way, online of like him in a chef costume and ready to go cook this weekend. They've been pretty good.
Yeah, if that happens, by the way, people will trace it back not to the loss, but to that press conference as the moment that it started to go downhill.
Yeah.
That one, let me just throw some scenarios at you guys so we can be responsible and not openly speculate. What do you think happens if, let's just say, Washington does beat Michigan Saturday? What do you think happens if LSU goes to Nashville and loses to Vanderbilt? Saturday.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying all these jobs come open. I'm saying I want you to imagine it's mid-October. I want you to imagine where the heat meter is. We'll continue. I'm not even done. What happens if Missouri goes to Auburn and wins Saturday? What happens if Brent Venables goes over to South Carolina in Cocktober and loses a second straight game this Saturday? That's the guy that was on hot seat coming into this year, by the way.
It
just the temperature got turned down because of the first month of the season. So, I mean, I just threw several at you that you didn't rattle off right off the intro that I am telling you have more than a reasonable chance of being a real thing in the next few weeks.
You know, the crazy thing about that, too, is, like, I understand that there's surprises once in a while. Like, maybe there's an NFL coach or a former OC, somebody not employed. I almost, in my mind, Pate, when I see these job openings, you're almost having to times them by two. Because of the way that world works, where they're just constantly wanting to steal somebody else's current.
You never know. Guy. Nobody's safe in the coaching carousel because you never know if your coach is going to be the one that takes a job and all of a sudden you're one looking for one,
like,
too.
If Florida becomes available and the guy up in Seattle does truly want to leave, like, that's two openings, not one, in a weird way. So I think you're dead on bringing that up, and I'm fascinated to see where all that goes. We don't have much time with you. This is kind of an Oregon State-centric question, and I know they're 0-7. We don't need to talk about the football team. They are one of the teams that fired their coach. I'm just curious, from a Pate State, watching college football, following the sport, especially at a major level, what are the three most important things you think programs should look for a new coach in a hire?
Well, it depends on who it is. So if it's Penn State, it's way different than if it's Oregon State.
100%.
Because I can say, if I'm looking for a Penn State head coach, I want a guy who's proven at the highest level. Well, I can't say that if I'm Oregon State, unless I'm talking about a position coach that I'm going to give a shot to be a head coach. But I want a guy who understands organizational structure and who really clearly can spell out to me who he's going to hire and why he's going to hire him, what they're going to do. I want a guy who can what would be the right word? Energize my fan base and my donor base. I've got to have that. And then I want a dynamic personality. Now, this is me personally, because you don't really have to have this to win. I want a dynamic personality because I believe that if we have the right guy, the right personality, it's not more important than winning, but if I can blend the two, we could work at a little bit of a discount rate getting talent, because we, in the aggregate, have created an environment guys want to play in, so we don't have to just outbid. We can get guys for 65% on the dollar of what our rival has to pay just because Coach X creates an environment that's really attractive. I want those things.
Okay, good stuff. Yay or nay, an undefeated falls this weekend, according to Josh Pate. You don't have to name it, but you think one falls.
Yes. I'm just going to say yes every weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be right more often than not. Yes.
You're not wrong.
Yay.
There we go. Yay, indeed. That's why he's one of the best. Josh Pate. New episode dropping tonight. Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. You've already subscribed. You already know. I just want to remind you, every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, getting ready for a big weekend of college football. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram as well. Catch him on every possible platform. And publicly, I just need to say thank you for Landon Tangwall's contact. He was great on our show. Really appreciate the help on that one. It's good to talk to you, my man. Enjoy the Breakfast Bowl and enjoy the weekend of college football.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Great stuff. Josh Pate, College Football Show. Look, you can't always count on much these days.
No, you cannot.
You can count on Josh Pate, and you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. The Josh Pate College Football Show.
I think we got to do a post-game show. I think we got to do a post-game show.
Okay.
There's a lot there.
Okay.
Lots to chew on.
Call it the Master's Program of Pate State University.
I like that.
Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.